It's the Burt Cohen Show. Must be a dream, because the twists and turns that America is taking, boy, it's fascinating. And we may be able to make our government work for us, make it a government of, by, and for the people again. Kind of one of the things in the way, actually, has been the Citizens United case. It has given a tremendous amount of political power to the power of money. But since it's currently the law of the land, Citizens United, might as well take advantage of it. And, you know, they're going to be, the other side is going to be whacking the Democrats and whacking the progressives and whacking the sane people. But, well, you know, we're going to be people on the left, people on the sane side, never mind left, right, people on the sane side are going to be taking some power into ourselves and doing something about it and trying to take back Congress from the corruption that there is. And I'm very pleased to have with us today Carl Gibson. He is the communications and new media director, of course, this is being old media here, for Take Down Frank Ginta. Now, Carl Gibson lets us know that he's a Southern boy who just moved to Manchester just a few weeks ago. And I find it, before we get into the discussion, you say that New Hampshire is kind of like the South.
Yeah, it's...
Oops, let me turn this on. There we go.
No, it's... Yeah, New Hampshire is kind of like the South of the North. You know, I came from Texas, and, you know, folks down there are very free-spirited. They're very open. They're friendly, just like Mississippi and Louisiana. And I found that a lot of that's the case in New Hampshire, too. Everybody is very independent-minded. People say hi to you on the street. You know, they wave at you when you wave at them. So, yeah, it's a nice place up here. I enjoy it.
Yeah, we have some, it's a very strong political tradition as well. We take our politics very, very seriously. And we have a member of Congress now, Frank Ginta, who was elected in 2010, just shy of 2 years ago. And I wonder how many people know who Frank Ginta is. And many people believe, let me just start out, most people, you know, if you talk about Congress, they just think, oh, they're all corrupt. They're all corrupt. What the heck difference does it make? You know, the ratings for Congress now are in the single digits. Is Frank Ginta any different? Is he any unique?
You know, he's actually a special case, you know, whereas, you know, most folks are well aware of corruption in Congress. And you mention the words corrupt and Congress next to each other and nobody even bats an eye anymore.
Right.
You know? But Frank Ginta, he's the kind of guy where, you know, the FEC will require you, if you're running for office, to disclose all of your accounts and disclose all donations over $200. Frank Ginta had a bank account that he, whoops, forgot to tell the feds about, and used that account to cut himself about $355,000 in campaign funds to his campaign committee, and of which he's now under federal investigation.
Well, I was wondering about the status of that with the Federal Election Commission, because it was kind of a ruckus back then in 2010. People thought, wait a minute, this $355,000, this, you know, maybe, you know, Rockefellers or the Koch brothers could forget about pocket change like $355,000. But to most people, that's a fair chunk of money. You don't just, you know, forget that. It's not like an oops. Whatever, it was kind of buried in the 2010 election. What's the status of that now?
You know, the latest stories you can find when you do a search on Google, you know, you'll find out that, you know, back in 2010, late 2010, about December, the FEC had, you know, initiated the investigation. They sent him a notification that he had 15 days to respond. The investigation's still ongoing. You know, they're obviously looking into documents and looking into funds and expenditures. But I think it's more telling that Frank Ginta has not come clear about that, and he has yet to answer questions. He has yet to, you know, really acknowledge in public that he is under federal investigation for his campaign finances, despite the fact that he's running for re-election. So I hope he'll come clean on that and tell us where that money came from.
It's very odd. I'm curious as to why it's been so quiet. Why has this just gone so below the radar for so long?
Probably because he's trying to make folks forget about it. we'd love to hear more from the Ginta campaign about that. You know,
well, we need to get into why you're here and what organization you're with. We're talking to Carl Gibson on the Burt Cohen Show, and tell us, how is it that you end up in New Hampshire at this particular time of year? What is Take Down Frank Ginta, and what is Credo?
Well, you know, Take Down Frank Ginta is part of a campaign from the Credo Super PAC called Take Down the Tea Party 10. And in 2010, the Tea Party, in 2010, that midterm election was really the first post-Citizens United election that you talked about earlier in the show, Bert, where, you know, unlimited, undisclosed, mostly corporate campaign contributions can flood campaigns, and also the creation of something called a Super PAC, which is an independent group that can, you know, spend money in elections. So, you know, Credo is a phone company based in San Francisco. They surveyed all of their customers. I'm a Credo customer. They surveyed me. And they asked them, since Citizens United has allowed for the creation of super PACs, and since the Republicans are taking to the airwaves to, you know, defeat progressives everywhere, what would you think if we started a super PAC with our funding? And the membership, including myself, overwhelmingly said yes. And so Credo launched the Take Down the Tea Party 10 campaign. And so there's congressmen in districts all over the nation, not just Frank Ginta, but, you know, folks like Dan Lundgren in California, Joe Walsh, Steve King, you know, some really extremist Tea Party Republicans in Congress who are, you know, doing the best they can to chip away at the middle class, hurt working families, and do it all to benefit their campaign donors.
And I wonder how they got picked. Now Credo is, as you say, a phone company, kind of a unique phone company, I have to say. I see their advertisements in The Nation and places like that. So how did they select who was the baddest guys?
Well, they find Tea Party congressmen who are, you know, relatively unknown in their districts, who got elected in the Tea Party sweep of 2010, who have said some really, really off-the-wall extremist things. Like, you know, for example, you know, Steve King was recently quoted saying that Mitt Romney should be out bragging about how wealthy he is. You know, and this is during a recession where everybody's suffering from joblessness, where corporate profits have never been higher, where wages are at an all-time low, and you've got guys who are basically shilling for the top 1% and walking all over their constituents and just counting on being reelected in 2012. So what the Credo Super PAC is, it's not affiliated with any candidate or candidate
right.
committee or campaign.
That's important to state, yes.
Right. It's just an accountability campaign, and making sure voters in these districts know about their voting records, particularly on women's rights, on seniors, on their support of the horrific Ryan budget, and just calling out the facts and letting folks know about it.
Again, we're talking with Carl Gibson of Take Down Frank Ginta, and they've had some visibility here in Portsmouth, where their show is coming from, a few weeks ago, and it was in Market Square, and a lot of people honked their horn when, you know, signs just saying Ginta is corrupt. And how the heck did he get elected in the first place? He was mayor of Manchester, which is obviously the biggest city in the state and the biggest city in the first congressional district. How did he get elected, and what's your sense of how he is perceived now by the constituents?
You know, I think Ginta just got lucky in 2010. That was a Tea Party year. That was when the Koch brothers and you know, folks like Bob Perry chipped in, you know, millions and millions of
dollars.
Who's
Bob Perry?
He's a guy in Texas who funds right-wing campaigns and super PACs. He's kind of like a Karl Rove type guy. But yeah, so that was a wave year for the Republicans. Frank Ginta had an R next to his name. Folks were told to vote with people with an R next to their name, so that's what they did.
Yeah.
You know, and I find when I walk around Manchester, where Frank Ginta used to be mayor, and I ask folks what their opinion is of Frank Ginta, they say, "Who?" Right. So it's
really?
Not that he's a well-known guy. It's just that he's the congressman, and he's got a lot of money, and his signs are everywhere. So what we're going to do is just go around the community, and we've got an army of volunteers making phone calls, knocking on doors, you know, letting people know about his voting record. And what a lot of people say is, I had no idea this congressman voted this way, you know? And you'll ask him, you know, we have folks calling on the phone say, you know, do you support Frank Genta? And some folks say, yeah. And then we ask him, are you pro-choice? They say, yeah. We ask him, do you believe a woman has access to contraception? They say, yes. You know, they support labor unions. These are people who are on our side ideologically, right. But they just don't really know where their congressman stands. And that's why we're here.
Wow. Well, it's really true. I mean, I wonder what his visibility is, what his name recognition is in general. My guess is it can't be too high.
Yeah, it's not. I remember my first night in Manchester, I was getting dinner and I asked my waitress, I said, let me get your opinion on three things. All right. Number one, Beastie Boys. She says, awesome. I say, number two, Bank of America. She says, hate him. Uh-huh. And I say, number three, Frank Genta. She says, who? I said, are you from Manchester? She said, yeah. I said, he used to be your mayor. He's a congressman now. And so we got to talking, and I she was telling me that she's in college. She's having trouble paying her bills. She's working multiple jobs, and you know, she's just trying to get ahead. I reminded her that Frank Genta actually voted for a budget that would, you know, basically give millionaires another $300,000 tax break and make folks in the lower class and middle class pay for it through cuts to social programs that we use every day. And, you know, so she was really fired up about it. She said, I had no idea. I'm going to go home and look that up. So it's just good to spread that awareness in a town like Manchester and just, you know, really just drive up the interest. And I think come November, folks will make their own decision and they'll see and they'll know and they'll be aware. And an informed electorate is always a win for us, I think.
Well, it's interesting how Republicans want to suppress voters now. They've been really active in voter suppression, keeping people's numbers down. And speaking of numbers, give us a call, 430-9722. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you're a fan of Frank Genta. Now, it's true, if you listen to the Burt Coleman Show with any regularity, chances are you're not a big fan of Frank Genta. Although, I don't know. I mean, I like to listen to Rush Limbaugh sometimes, too, and just see what the heck the other side is saying. Give us a call, 430-9722. So I thought that sample was really good, you know, the wait person. You know, what better sample? And the fact that she says these are her positions. But people don't know. Do you find, I'll be curious to see what you think, people's political awareness of where people stand on issues, it seems to be a bit lower these days than it was 20 or so years ago. The people, you know, let's face it, Obama was a heck of a lot better celebrity than John McCain was. You know, where he stands on the issues, I don't know. And how do you get through that? People are busy as heck, you know, with the internet all the time. People are just, you know, it seems like the pace of life is faster than ever, and people just don't have time to look at who their members of Congress are. How do you break through that? What is the Credo Super PAC going to be doing to reach people?
We're getting back to the basics and just doing what has always worked, which is face-to-face contact with voters. And you want to reach people at home, you know, because uh-huh. I've been there before, you know. Back in Mississippi, I was working four part-time jobs just to pay $4.50 a month in rent and keep gas in my car. I barely had time to, you know, watch the news. I just read Twitter. That's how I got my news. And so, you know, a lot of these folks are in the same position and they get bombarded constantly, especially now with right. political advertisements oh. and commercials. And they just tune it out because, you know, nobody wants to be attacked with that 24/7. So the way you reach people is you call them at home, you knock on their door, you see them out on the street, you see them at the store, and you just talk to them. We're all neighbors. We're all in this community. And, you know, when you reach people on that face-to-face level and you just reach them on certain values, and I find it's really easy to, you know, get that reaction from people on a face-to-face level. You know, for example, you know, I'll ask somebody, you know, do you feel it's fundamentally wrong for a congressman, especially a male congressman, to tell a woman what she can and can't do between her and her doctor? And they say, yeah, I think that's wrong. You ask them, do you feel it's fair for a senior who's worked their entire life to have an earned pension through Social Security, to have earned health care through Medicare that they paid from their paychecks all their life? Do you feel it's right for a congressman to take that away and give that in the form of a piddly voucher for private health insurance? They say, no, I think that's wrong. And you say, well, that's what your congressman voted for. And, you know, Frank Genta is, frankly, I think he's an embarrassment to New Hampshire, because I think if I was from New Hampshire, if I was born and raised here, and if I saw that, you know, this congressman, especially a guy who was named by the Center for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, CREW, as one of Congress's most corrupt, that he's my congressman, I would be embarrassed about that, and I would want him to be gone.
Yeah, I was going to ask about CREW. I like the name. What is it? congressional?
Yeah, Center for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
Center for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. So are they helping to pay for this effort or?
No, that's a nonpartisan 501c3 group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've named, they have a habit of naming the most corrupt members of Congress. They've named Democrats and Republicans alike as corrupt based on their finances, based on unanswered questions about, you know, where they raised money for their campaigns. They called out Frank Ginta for, I think they said, fudging the numbers and cooking the books to buy a seat in Congress. And I would encourage folks to, you know, not take my word for it. Go and Google Crew Frank Ginta and just see what comes up.
Again, we're at 430-9722. There's so many questions about Frank Ginta and the public perception of him. People don't really know who he is right now. And you guys have nothing to do with the Carol Shea Porter campaign, completely separate. Carol Shea Porter was a member of Congress. And frankly, it's no great surprise here. I was darn proud of her. She was, I think, a really, really good member of Congress. But you guys have, I mean, this is a super PAC. It's not a 527, is it? Or
No. We're an independent group. We have no opinion of Carol Shea Porter.
Right.
You know, and individually, we might have our own thoughts and feelings. But, you know, this campaign is really just about holding Frank Ginta accountable for his voting record and his positions and just making the community aware of really how badly he's treated his constituents.
And tell us about, we've heard this phrase, the war on women. Some people on the right tend to dismiss it and say, oh, there's no war on women. Give us some details, if you would, about Frank Ginta and the war on women.
Sure. Well, you know, a thing I like to say often is, you know, New Hampshire is a state where we all live free or die, right?
Right.
So, you know,
we take that seriously.
Yeah. Frank Ginta has a no tolerance stance on abortions, you know, not even in the cases of rape or incest or if a woman faces death from childbirth. You know, so in New Hampshire, we live free or die unless you're a woman who needs an abortion to live through childbirth. And then Frank Ginta just wants you to die. You know, he's voted to redefine rape, you know, to bolster his anti-choice position. You know, however you do that, I'm not sure. But and in another really interesting thing, when Congress voted to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, he originally opposed that bill and then supported a Republican version that would exclude, you know, the most vulnerable groups of women vulnerable to abuse, you know, like gay women and immigrants. And so, you know, he's a really slimy guy who has a really underhanded way of, you know, misinforming his constituents and making them think he's doing the right thing when really he's working in the interests of his campaign donors the whole time.
So what the Violence Against Women Act, I'm curious about that. I mean, it's like, how can you be against a Violence Against Women Act?
That's a great question.
What was the Republican version that I heard? I don't know the details of that. Perhaps you can fill us in. Yeah. It wasn't real good.
No, it was basically, it had the same protections outlined as the original version of the bill, but it excluded groups like lesbians, like undocumented immigrants. And so, you know, those
it
are the groups.
Specifically said lesbians were excluded?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the exact text of
was the effect.
The bill specifically excluded groups that Republicans and Tea Party Republicans like Frank Ginta outwardly go out of their way to just, you know, oppress and make enemies out of. So, you know, it's just systematic of the ideology that drives Ginta's agenda. Rather than serving the interests of his constituents, he really seeks to serve this Tea Party ideology, this Fox News, far right wing, just really radical extremist agenda that really only about 1/5 of America supports. You know, it's something that not a lot of folks in New Hampshire who I find who are rational people don't believe in things like this. And so, I mean, like I said, it's an embarrassment that he's still in Congress. So we're hoping to just drive him out of there this November and make the voters aware.
And women are a big, big voting bloc. And I find it interesting on the issue of choice. I mean, I've been active with NARAL pro-choice stuff for many, many years. It's been interesting to me, and I don't know if you found this yet, but younger women, women who are, frankly, more likely to be facing, you know, reproductive issues in their childbearing years, they don't seem to get fired up about this. I don't know why. I mean, I think my sense is they were not around before Roe versus Wade, so choice has always been there. Maybe they just don't believe that their reproductive rights really can be taken away. So his position is with regard to reproductive rights and to, I don't know what in terms of poor women, if they're able, if they get medical coverage like Medicaid and things like that, are they able to get abortions now? And what is his position with regard to abortions as well as contraception?
Yeah, you know, it's good that you mentioned that, especially low-income women, because they depend on facilities ran by Planned Parenthood,
right,
to get breast cancer screenings that, you know, are a great form of preventative health care and can, you know, detect a lot of signs early before they spread, you know.
Oh, and there's a lot of breast cancer in this state.
Yeah, and especially in the Northeast, you know, breast cancer is very prevalent. And so you need those facilities that are taxpayer funded, because a lot of these women, they don't have health insurance. They don't have their own health plan.
Right.
And a lot of them are just working 2-3 jobs just to get by. You know, we've got volunteers at the office who are young women in their 20s who actually they both work 3 jobs. And so when you tell women like those folks who are volunteering for us that, you know, their congressman doesn't want them to have that access to that life-saving health care, you know, it just gets their blood boiling. And like you said, a lot of young women aren't aware of this. And that's exactly why we're here, because, you know, this is something that every American, not just folks in New Hampshire, but people who hear about these congressmen nationwide would just really get angry about naturally, regardless of where you feel on ideology and certain positions. I mean, I think you have to agree that denying someone access to life-saving health care is fundamentally wrong.
What has he said or done about Planned Parenthood in specific?
Well, the Paul Ryan budget that he supported multiple times has, you know, there's clauses in that budget that strip away federal funding for Planned Parenthood facilities. And, you know, that was a big point of attack for the right wing last year and the year before. Really, since 2010, the Republicans have done everything they can to just strip away all federal funding for Planned Parenthood. You know, Rick Perry in Texas took it a step further when he voted to strip all Planned Parenthood funding from those facilities in Texas. And that, you know, started a big outrage in Texas, of all places, where, you know, women and male supporters were saying, you know, Rick Perry, we need these facilities to have life-saving health care. You know, and women, like you said, are a big voting bloc. They they care about these issues. This is something that affects them directly. You know, Eric Cantor, who is in a gerrymandered district in Virginia, House Majority Leader, polls were released this week showing that, you know, his anti-choice agenda, his anti-contraception agenda, his agenda at defunding Planned Parenthood, losing him a lot of support among the women bloc. So, I mean, not very many people, even in the most conservative districts in this country, are supportive of this agenda. And I think this is something that we just need to repeatedly make people aware of.
We are talking with Carl Gibson of Take Down Frank Ginta. So how are you going about reaching women in particular on this?
You know, we mainly do
TV, radio.
No, we're not your ordinary super PAC. You know, we don't, regardless of what Frank Ginta says about us on his Facebook page, you know, we don't have millions of dollars to spend on TV ads. You know, we're really just going back to the basics, like I said earlier, you know, knocking on doors, making phone calls, talking to people in the community. And yeah, the best way to reach women about this is really to talk to them face to face, individually, you know, and let them come to their own conclusions on their own.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the women that we call, that our volunteers make calls to every night, when we just say Frank Ginta, you know, we're with the Take Down Frank Ginta campaign, they say, oh, I don't like Frank Ginta, and they almost hang up on us. But, you know, it's and a lot of it is because of his radical anti-woman stances. You know, he's one of the most anti-woman members of Congress. And in a state like New Hampshire, you know, I was reading the news in not just the Union Leader, the Hippo, like all the newspapers that cover politics say that, you know, women are going to be the decisive factor in this election. And so, yeah, let's make the women voters aware of their congressmen's voting records and hold them accountable.
Fascinating. And did you get the honor of being mentioned by Frank Ginta on his Facebook page?
Not by name, but if you go to facebook.com/Frank Ginta, you'll notice he posted a status yesterday where he's essentially fundraising off of what we're doing. And he's saying, you know, there's an out-of-state super PAC, Carol Shea Porter employed, and they're spending millions to defeat me. And it's kind of funny because we're actually spending less money in 2012 to make him disappear than he made appear in 2010 in his bank account. You know, so this is a small budget effort, and it's a community driven grassroots campaign, and it's going to stay that way.
Frank Ginta's Facebook page. Interesting. I haven't checked that out. I should yet. I mean, it's hard for me to become a friend, but I guess it can be useful sometimes if you want to have a little fun with somebody.
Oh, absolutely. He's a lot of fun to watch. I can tell he's feeling the heat. We've been, you know, doing a lot of social media, Facebook, Twitter. We had a write-up today in the Hippo. I'm on your show now. I'm sure he's aware of us, and in the coming weeks and months, he'll be a lot more aware of us.
And the conventional wisdom, which is usually wrong, has been up until recently that Frank Ginta is not really beatable. That he's going to be very, very tough to beat in 2012, even though it's obviously not 2010. Does he have reason to worry? Is he strong, do you think? Is he feeling strong?
I honestly hope that the polls continue to say as they do, to just underestimate this campaign, because, I mean, you have to remember that these polls, they really survey by landline, and a lot of folks don't have landlines anymore. I don't have a landline. I have my cell phone.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of folks who are, who are not in tune with the polls, who don't read the polls, who are not contacted by these pollsters, who feel very strongly against Frank Ginta. And we have an army of volunteers who are reaching those exact people. And, when college students return in August and they go back to school, I've got a friend at UNH in Durham who is really fired up about the campaign, and she's going to spread the word on her campus. This is going to be a very underhanded grassroots campaign. We're just going to basically come out of nowhere and just overwhelm Frank Ginta with our messaging, with our numbers, with our volunteer support. And come November, I think he'll be in for a really ugly surprise.
Interesting. Yeah, how to reach those people that are just on cell phones. Man, that's kind of tough. That is. And will they vote? That's the thing. If the pollsters don't reach them, how do you know if they're going to actually get out and vote? Because there's been a lot of voter suppression. The Republicans in Concord in particular have been, really targeting. They don't want college people to be voting. They make no bones about it. They don't want those people in college to vote here in New Hampshire.
Well, and it was interesting. You mentioned voter ID laws. In Pennsylvania just recently, I think it was the House GOP majority leader who went on the record saying, we've got this bill that's going to do this, that's done. We have this other bill that's going to, do this, that's done. And we have this voter ID bill, which is going to help Governor Romney win Pennsylvania, that's done. They're just openly, outwardly saying that they're trying to suppress the vote. And it's really funny that, especially months before the election, and you look at Florida, where Rick Scott is actively trying to purge the rolls of voters.
Oh, yeah.
I think the far right Tea Party Republicans in particular are in a really big freakout mode because they recognize that they've overreached and that a lot of people aren't in line with their extremist agenda. And folks really just want a return to rationality and reasonable leadership in Congress. And so, yeah, they're in panic mode right now. And that's good. We want to keep them that way.
Well, I wonder what Frank Ginta's relationship is with the sane Republicans in the state of New Hampshire. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people. I was in the state senate for 14 years, and guy I worked with, Russ Prescott, I sat next to him, pretty right wing. I always thought, and he can't, he doesn't say specifically Frank Ginta, but the Tea Party stuff, he's like, these guys are out there. So they are outside the bounds of normally conservative. I mean, there's a big, big difference between, conservative Republicans and the extreme right wing. How does Frank Ginta get along with the Republican Party? There's been a lot of traditional Republicans. Are they all just, well, he's a winner, so we'll get on board with him?
It's interesting. You mentioned the Republican Party. When Lincoln was a Republican way back during the Civil War era, the Republican Party was a radical organization dedicated to, ending, corporate control of government resources and ending slavery and making people more free. And like now the current Republican Party is about, enriching those corporate donors who fund their campaigns and suppressing the vote, getting in between a woman and her doctor. And it's funny that they talk about constantly big government interference. I think it's big government interference when you tell a woman that she can't have access to birth control. It's amazing that the Republican Party has morphed into such an extremist ideology driven party. And they've really lost all touch with reality now. So, you were talking about your Republican friends in the Senate, and I'd be interested to hear, what their thoughts are, because I remember reading New Hampshire News, even back in Texas, where, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien. Well, that's the guy they were talking about that they can't stand.
Right. And the Senate Republicans were splitting with the House Republicans.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that was a beautiful thing to see. I think we're going to start seeing more of that, where the traditional Republicans, take Will McAvoy in the show Newsroom. He identifies as a Republican, but he hates what the Koch brothers and what the billionaire funders have turned it into. And so I think this might be a Goldwater year for the Republicans in that their extremist agenda just really catches up with them, and they get voted out of office in droves.
And I got to tell you, I talked to a lot of people, you know, being in New Hampshire, talking to people, I talked to a lot of Republicans who consider themselves pretty standard conservative. And they're really distressed. They are really distressed as to the Bill O'Briens, for example. I mean, he's just way the heck out there. He's just he's a dictator. And that's, you know, it's not a word I use lightly. He really doesn't recognize the legitimacy of anything else other than him. Never mind the governor. Never mind the Supreme Court. It's his way. That's what. And a lot of Republicans aren't liking that. And Frank Ginter was not the traditional Republican choice back in 2010. There was Sean Mahoney in particular. I thought, frankly, he was going to make it because he was the choice of the, you know, more sane Republicans. And I wonder how they're feeling right now, if they're ready to get on. I mean, he's their nominee, obviously. So,
I mean, I think Fox News and the super PACs who fund Republican campaigns are the ones who decide who the nominees are. And so, yeah, and so they always pick. You know, you look back at the presidential primaries where, you know, you ask all these candidates who were on the stage, you know, how are you going to fix the economy? And, you know, one of them will say tax cuts for the rich, and Newt Gingrich will say tax amelioration for the rich. And then, you know, Michelle Bachmann will say, you know, tax reduction for the rich. You know, it's the same agenda, and they're all gunning for this primary nomination. They're all trying to win the support of the people. And, you know, Fox News are the ones who decide who gets that nomination by the coverage that they get, you know? So you have to look at when they're saying these radical extremist things, it might be popular for the TV cameras. It might be nice to get on the front of the newspaper, but it's not the way that a lot of Republicans feel. You know, here's an example. We have volunteers calling every night from our office. One woman called a volunteer, said she identified as a Republican, said she was going to vote for Frank Ginter, said she felt strongly about that. And then we asked her, you know, do you believe climate change is happening? Yes. Do you believe in labor unions? Yes, I believe in labor unions. Do you feel that women should have access to birth control? Yes. You know, so these are people who just need to be made aware of their congressman's record. Yes. And, you know, once we bring that to light, I think they'll make the right choice on their own in November.
That's an important thing to get people out there. How has he been on labor unions? Now, it's true, New Hampshire, you know, it's not particularly that strong of a union state, but we believe that, I think it's widely held that people, including employees, you know, state employees, have the right to bargain collectively. Has he been especially bad with unions and the right to collective bargaining?
I mean, to be fair to him, I haven't heard him publicly say anything that's anti-union, but I mean, you look at his benefits in Congress, he's got a great pension, he's got a great health care plan, not just for him, but for his family. You know, I'm sure he gets paid time off. These are all benefits that unions bargain for and fight for every day. And, you know, most folks would believe, regardless of ideology, that the workers who work in America, who work hard to make a living and make society move forward, you know, it'd be nice for them to have weekends. It'd be nice for them to have time off when they get sick, when a member of their family dies. It'd be nice for them to be able to go home after 8 hours of work. It'd be nice for them to get fair wage for fair hours worked. You know, these are just bread and butter issues that most folks, you know, feel that they deserve.
It's a given,
so, you know, it would. I'm pretty sure Frank Gint is in the line with Scott Walker and the rest of the right wing Republicans who believe that, you know, corporations have the right to, you know, deny employees the right to collectively bargain, and corporations have the right to set wages. You know, he might be in line with the right wing folks in New Hampshire who voted to repeal the minimum wage. You know, it's really amazing how much they have taken the side of the corporations and the big industrialists and the robber barons.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me how some really good, conscientious people have been drawn to the Tea Party. They're concerned about where is the power, who is this government working for. To me, there's a big disconnect, really, between a lot of good people, conscientious people who are drawn to the Tea Party, and the real powers behind the Tea Party. Tell us, if you would, about Ginter's relationship with, for example, the Koch brothers. Are there specific actions or things that he has done with regard to the Koch brothers that you can point to?
You know, the Koch brothers, and if you read their expose in the New Yorker, I think last year, a year and a half ago, that was when they really burst onto the scene, when this New Yorker reporter really just wrote this 10-page, very detailed investigation about how the Koch brothers have this network of foundations and networks like Americans for Prosperity, the American Enterprise Institute, you know, all these all these ambiguous named organizations that they use to directly fund the Tea Party. And, you know, the Koch brothers and also big insurance interests, big financial interests, big energy interests, they're all in this together. And one of my favorite websites, opensecrets.org, if you just go to opensecrets.org and you type in Frank Genta and click on his name, and there's a little tab on the right that says donors. And so you click on donors, and you'll see names of a whole bunch of corporations that have given money to leadership PACs, money to his campaign. And they really match up with his voting record pretty much on point, right? Where Frank Genta is, for example, opposed to the Affordable Care Act, you see that one of his top donors, his top three or top four donor, is an insurance company. You know, so it's, if had the Supreme Court struck down the Affordable Care Act today, I'm sure folks like Frank Genta would have been doing an end zone dance and, you know, cheering on the fact that 37 million Americans lost health insurance, because that's what his donors want him to say. And folks like Frank Genta are really a creation of super PACs, of right-wing special interests, of big corporations. And that's why they have such an easy access to this flow of cash that they use to really directly misinform their constituents and make them think they're working for them when in fact they're not.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've wondered about. And if you're listening, give us a call. Well, you wouldn't be hearing me, and you know, if you weren't listening. 430-9722, 430-9722. We'd love to hear from you. I have gotten so much mail from Frank Genta, not political mail, not campaign mail. This is taxpayer-funded mail. It looks like campaign literature. I mean, how great he is for seniors, and you know, my recollection is, in part of his campaign in 2010, was to criticize his predecessor for abusing franking privileges. And the franking privileges are where you don't need stamps. The taxpayers pay for it. What the heck? I have never... It's extremely well-produced, super slick stuff, and it comes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
It makes him look like he cares about his constituents, and they feel special when they get mail from Representative Frank Genta, and he's just writing to say, you know, by God, I care about you, and this is what I'm doing in Congress, and you can count on me. It's amazing that he has the audacity to do this when in 2010 he criticized Carol Shea Porter for sending franked mail and using tax dollars to, you know, send mail out to her district, when, you know, now in Congress he's one of the biggest abusers of franking mail privileges, you know, in the entire House of Representatives. He spent hundreds of thousands of tax dollars that we use to pay for our leaders to represent us. And he's using these tax dollars to, like you said, flood our mailboxes with things that look like campaign literature. I mean, he's got a brilliant PR campaign, and he's using our tax dollars to misinform us. So, I mean, it's doubly insulting when you think about it.
Well, I was wondering, frankly, I didn't read it, but he had some mailing about how great he was for seniors. What is he talking about?
You know, one of our volunteers who, she is a senior, and she mentioned that every time she gets mail from Frank Genta, she just throws it out without reading it. And she said, I open the mailbox and it says Frank Genta, and it goes in the blue bin. There it goes. What he likes to say, and I'll give you a good example. In one of his op-eds that he wrote, and he writes bi-monthly op-eds, or semi-monthly, I should say, where he, you know, says all the great things that he's doing for his constituents. For example, you know, he talked about how I'm saving the taxpayers money by, you know, cutting funds from my office, from my staff. And, you know, so while he's laying off staffers, he's using hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to send out mail like this that talks about what he's doing. So it's really this underhanded, sneaky way of misinforming people. You know, now maybe when he says that he's great on seniors and he voted for, you know, something nice that benefits everybody, what he won't tell you is that, by the way, I voted for the Ryan budget, which ends Medicare as we know it, which privatizes Social Security, which turns your guaranteed health care for the rest of your life into a voucher that doesn't even cover a basic health insurance plan. You know, those are things that he doesn't say, but that's a direct slap in the face to seniors when he turns around and sends mail talking about how great he is for seniors.
Yeah, it's really, it's been a case for a long time that of the various different voting blocks, seniors vote. Seniors vote. Young people, you know, it's kind of spotty. They don't vote as much. I hope that's changing. If you're a young person, prove me wrong and please get out there and vote. But I wonder about reaching seniors. Any sense of are seniors generally okay with Frank Genta? Are they as, they tend to be more informed than other voting blocks. What's their sense of Frank Inta, and how are you you know, going into the places where seniors live?
Well, it's like you said, seniors are very well informed.
Yes.
And because of that, a huge percentage of our volunteers are seniors.
Yay.
And so, you know, it's funny when, you know, for example, we had an event in Manchester where we had mainly seniors, you know, who were holding signs talking about Frank Inta voting to end Medicare as we know it. And there were, you know, there are like several police cars that were surrounding the protest, you know, and these are seniors, you know, they're not armed, they're not dangerous. They're just expressing their opinion, you know. And so, like you said, they're very well informed and they vote.
Yeah.
And that's a voting block that I think Frank Inta should be terrified of, because he's done nothing but, you know, basically slap him in the face since he's been elected in 2010. And like you were saying, you know, young people, if they come out and vote like they did in 2008, then I think Frank Inta is in a lot of trouble there. You know, with young people, he's done things like, you know, again, the Ryan budget would basically end Pell Grants, phase them out over a period of years where, you know, myself and a lot of other young people depend on those Pell Grants to go to college. And if we can't go to college, we can't get a good job. And if we're confined to a life of low wage work, I would like to think we're going to remember that congressman who voted to end our Pell Grants and our access to higher education. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways for young and old people to get involved and vote and just inform themselves on the issues. And Frank Inta's really against all of those voting blocks on pretty much all those issues.
So, well, not everybody knows what a Pell Grant is. What is a Pell Grant and what is his position on it?
Yeah, Pell Grants are basically federal grants that students can apply for, mainly lower income students who, you know, need help to afford tuition. And so they can apply for Pell Grants. You can get several thousand dollars every semester to, you know, help pay down tuition. And what the Ryan budget does, it decreases spending for everything, including Pell Grants, completely defunds a lot of government programs and subsidies, and really increases spending only in one sector, which is the Pentagon. And we spend more on our military than every other industrialized country does combined in the world.
Right.
And, you know, we're still losing the war in Afghanistan. But, you know, so Frank Inta supports this budget that takes money away from college students, that ends the Meals on Wheels program.
Ends the Meals on Wheels program.
There's actually a great photo of Frank Inta did a photo op giving Meals on Wheels to some seniors the same week he voted for the Ryan budget, which ends Meals on Wheels. So, I mean, it's really cruel and unusual the way he
votes.
And it's naked corruption at its most blatant.
I'm a little bit stunned here. He did a mailing showing a picture of him giving out Meals on Wheels.
Not a mailing.
Okay,
there was a photo op, and you know there was cameras everywhere, and he was doing Meals on Wheels, just
right.
Making himself look like your everyday congressman, just caring about folks and making sure they get fed. And he's voting for a budget that, you know, defunds Meals on Wheels, that kicks hundreds of thousands of kids off the school lunch program, so millionaires can have another $300,000 tax break. You know. Whose side is Frank Inta on? It's definitely not ours.
It's not good for a radio person to be speechless. That is really amazing. So this Ryan budget, you've described, it cuts lots and lots of social programs. And what does it do for the tax breaks for the wealthy? And where is it now within Congress? What is it, committee or what?
Well, yeah, so the tax breaks, tax rates for the richest in America are at 35% right now. That's the top tax as it stands, if the Bush tax cuts stay in place.
Right.
So what the Ryan budget wants to do is reduce the top tax rate from 35% to 25%. Meanwhile, yeah. And so it ends up collecting $4 trillion less in revenue in 10 years and cuts $4 trillion in spending on mainly social programs and programs that folks use every day all over America, things like Meals on Wheels, things like school lunch programs, you know, Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. And all these programs get cut so the richest 1% can have this big tax break. So it really just reinforces inequality between the top 1% and everybody else. You know, right now there's a tour, you might have heard of it, your listeners might have heard about the Nuns on the Bus.
No, I haven't heard about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's this really great thing where this bus full of nuns, Catholic nuns, are traveling the country and they're speaking out against the Ryan budget, and they're going to end up in D.C. to lobby against the Ryan budget.
Wow.
And yeah, and so this is something that the Catholic Church, Catholic bishops, the nuns are very much against. They say this is not a Christian budget. because, you know, the Bible says we should care for the least of these. You know, that Jesus talked about give up all your wealth and follow me, you know, and this Paul Ryan budget basically says, all right, everybody has to sacrifice and everybody has to make do with less, but the rich get to have more. And it's just this fundamentally wrong thing. And, you know, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, I think we can all agree that the wealth gap in this country is it's at a staggering unequal rate that we haven't seen since prior to the Great Depression. And, you know, continuing such inequality, and especially having congressmen in office who support such staggering inequality, is just fundamentally wrong, you know. Now, thankfully, the Senate didn't even consider the Ryan budget. They didn't even take it up for a vote. But the House is overwhelmingly behind it. And so, I mean, that's why it's so important that we get Tea Party congressmen who believe so fully in this budget that they don't deserve to be in office anymore.
I wonder what percentage of the public thinks, well, we got a deficit. And I know I actually had a friend of mine asked, well, I heard that President Obama has tripled the deficit. Is that true? And I said, well, no. But people are concerned about government overspending. You know, and I wonder if Democrats are saying anything about that. It seems like, you know, at least with the Tea Party Republicans, that they have made it clear they want to cut these socialist programs out of here. And I don't hear what the Democrats are saying to get this under control.
Well, you know, it was funny, like during the whole debt ceiling snafu last year, the manufactured debt crisis.
Totally manufactured, yes.
Yeah, the Republicans, Frank Gintz included, because he votes with his party every time, were saying that, you know, we have to cut $1.5 trillion from the budget right now. And that was their magic number. And I was thinking the whole time, you know, what about the F-35 program? You know, even John McCain says that's a wasteful boondoggle that hasn't done a thing.
How much money is that?
$1.5 trillion. So, yeah, so we could end the F-35 program, meet all the budget cuts that the Republicans want, and then we could save all these social welfare programs that they're trying to cut. You know, so it's, I think the Tea Party Republican strategy is to completely defund government and make government ineffective and make sure that government has no capability of serving anyone except the richest 1%. So then the Republicans can say, look what the Democrats are doing to the government. Government doesn't have any use. Government is useless, you know, and they're the exact same people who have made government useless because they've voted to, you know, basically cut every program. And this is a unified agenda. And we're the ones who have to call it out and make people aware of it and let folks know that, you know, yes, government can work in the best interests of people. It's just certain people who are in office who are making it so that it won't work for you and that it'll only work for a certain small percentage of wealthy elites.
There's a word for that, plutocracy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not every, I mean, it's not a word that's used very much anymore, but, you know, we have, in theory, we are a republic of the people, a democracy, a democratic republic, government of, by, and for the people, as that great Republican Lincoln had to say. Now, I disagree with him on a few other things, I'll leave that. But a plutocracy is government of, by, and for the very rich.
Exactly.
We've seen that before in other countries. That's not what America is supposed to be. How does the Tea Party, does it threaten democracy? I mean, we're talking about a fundamental shift in where the power of government is. Mike Capuano, a great member of Congress, came up to New Hampshire recently, and he talked about how government is us. It's us governing ourselves. And, you know, I wonder how much of a real threat to our very core as a Republican democracy the Tea Party, and for that matter, Frank Gintz, really are.
You know, the face of fascism, Benito Mussolini, he had a famous quote that said, fascism should be more accurately called corporatism because it is corporate control of government.
Right.
You know, so you look at communism, what is that? That's government-controlled corporations. You look at fascism, that's corporate-controlled government. And I think freedom is government protecting the people from corporate criminals. Now, you look at what happened back in 2008 when the housing bubble burst and, you know, suddenly people lost all the value in their homes. They got foreclosed on. They got kicked out of their homes. And we gave these tremendous bailouts. And an audit of the Federal Reserve showed that $7 trillion in bailouts went to these banks, not just American banks, but foreign banks. You know, our tax dollars are directly funding the same people who made life so hard for all of us. And what the Tea Party does, you mentioned that the Tea Party threatens democracy. And if you look at their attempts to suppress the vote, you look at their attempts to, you know, stop women from getting fundamental health care that they need to survive. You talk about them actively voting for a budget that kicks poor, needy kids off of school lunch, takes food out of kids' mouths, and gives it to millionaires in the form of a $300,000 tax break. And it's really clear what the Tea Party agenda is serving. And it's not America, and it's not democracy. And I think it's a really dangerous problem that we need to cut out at its root, and that folks need to be aware of, because you know, they're not playing games, and we don't need to play games anymore either. We need to be able to play with them on their turf and fight fire with fire. And you know, when they do and say wrong things, we need to do and say right things. We need to kick those people out of office, and we need to let them know we're not going to tolerate such an extremist agenda that is so fundamentally against the best interests of the people.
And you hear sometimes people saying, you know, they get tired of this. It's easy to get confused by this. And they see this partisan rancor. And you hear people like this group, No Labels, which wants people to just play nice in the sandbox. You know, don't stand up and fight about it. Just accommodate, you know, and make things better. And I think there's a lot of people who feel like that and can get critical because, you know, what we're saying here is fairly, it's got some activity to it. It's, you know, a bit of standing up and fighting for the things that you care about. What about this idea of don't be so partisan, you know, just get along, go with the No Labels agenda.
You know, that was when we hear from people who are saying, you know, you're a super PAC. You know,
the, right. and you're, aren't we against super PACs?
Right. And so what we all like to say around the office, and this is true, if the Supreme Court met tomorrow and they overturned Citizens United and we were all out of a job, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. I'd be happy to look for a new job if Citizens United gets turned over. Until then, you know, if we're throwing pies at you and you're throwing rocks at us, and if we have the opportunity to have rocks, we're going to throw rocks too. You know, we shouldn't settle with pies and we can have rocks. And so they're basically rolling boulders down a hill
right.
that we're trying to just run up, and we just and we just need to not tolerate that. We need to, you know, if they're going to go far right and be partisan and be nasty, we need to call them out for that, and we need to hold them accountable. I don't think there's anything wrong with holding people accountable, and I think voters will appreciate campaigns that, you know, hold people who work against their best interests accountable. You know, this is a people's campaign. We're fighting on the best interests of the people, and we're not telling them to vote a certain way. We're just telling them to not vote for Frank Ginta. You know, that's really all it comes down to.
And letting people know who the heck Frank Ginta really is.
Exactly.
Because he's just not known right now. And you got to increase the awareness of who the heck Frank Ginta is. What are the super PACs doing for Frank Ginta? They must love him.
Well, you know, we'd still like to know where that $355,000 came from.
Well, are we going to know between now and November? What's the deal here? I mean, goodness, it's been a long time.
It would be nice. You know, that's why we're doing this Take Down Frank Ginta corruption tour. We did in Manchester and Dover, and we're about to do one in Laconia today, actually, at 5 o'clock. And I encourage your listeners, if they're around the area, feel free to stop by the Landmark Inn. And we're going to have folks from all over the district. We're going to have a bluegrass band singing about the missing $355,000. We're going to have plenty of colorful signs. And we would love for Frank Ginta to answer that question. Where'd the money come from? Who gave it? You know, let's have it out. Let's, you know.
Well, what's the FEC doing? Isn't it their business to root this out?
The FEC's budget is $64 million, and it's not a lot. And a big platform of a lot of Tea Party groups that I've seen online is, you know, well, the FEC doesn't do anything and we should defund it. You know, clearly the Tea Party doesn't like groups like the FEC that shine a light on the bad things that they're doing. You know, so it would be great if Frank Ginta could just silence all the talk and just come out and say where the money came from, and we'll stop if it's legitimate. You know, so we're waiting to hear what the FEC has to say about it. In the meantime, we'll be in places like Laconia this afternoon at 5 o'clock and getting the people to just ask those questions themselves. Ask your congressman, you know, where'd that money come from? We'd like to know.
Where's the money? Where's the money? What's he done about jobs? People really care about jobs. What is, I mean, the election of 2010 was largely about, hey, let's bring some jobs here. And, you know, there's the theory, I don't personally buy it, the old trickle-down theory, as Rocky said to Bullwinkle, that trick never works.
There's, you know, when you talk about jobs, that's a good question. I'm not sure what Frank Ginta's done about jobs. If you check PolitiFact New Hampshire from last week, they evaluated a statement where Frank Ginta said, you know, we've passed over 40 bipartisan jobs bills from the House, and we'd love to see the Senate act on it. And PolitiFact ranked that statement as mostly false. You know, some of the jobs bills, like the Jobs Act that President Obama signed into law, things like crowdsourcing for small businesses, generally good ideas. A lot of those jobs bills that Frank Genta talks about are jobs bills, are just basically bills that cut regulations and cut taxes even more in an effort to spur job creation. And as we can see from, you know, the 8 years of the Bush administration, where all he did was deregulate and cut taxes, and jobs actually went down while corporate profits went up. You know, that's the agenda that Frank Genta wants. He wants higher corporate profits. He wants lower wages. And, you know, those things don't create jobs. They're proven to not create jobs. You know, so when Frank Genta talks about things like job creation, he's really talking about, you know, that's code for the Keystone XL pipeline, you know, which would make an eyesore out of the Great Plains and endanger groundwater sources, you know, for 6,000 temporary oil jobs. And actually, Republicans like Frank Genta are holding the transportation authorization bill for 2012 hostage, 3 million jobs, because they want this rider about Keystone XL attached to it. The president has repeatedly said no. They're still pursuing this agenda, and they're just running their heads into a brick wall every time and fiddling while Rome is burning, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, if people want to get in touch, maybe even take part, how can they get in touch with you or the organization?
Sure. They can email me, Carl, with a C, dot Gibson, Gibson like the guitar.
Nice guitar. Yeah.
At CredoSuperPack.com.
Carl.Gibson at
CredoSuperPack.com.
Okay.
And call my cell phone, 601-454-6443. Love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you involved. This is a people-powered campaign. And we'll need all the help we can get from folks to spread awareness and hold Frank Genta accountable.
And there's something called, if you go to Take Down Frank Genta, isn't that on the...
TakeDownGenta.com is our website. Our Facebook page is Facebook.com/TakeDownGenta. And you can find us on Twitter at Twitter.com/TakeDownGenta.
All that new media. I'm the old media guy. Thank you so much for being with
us
today.
Thank you, Bert. It's been a pleasure.
I sense some enthusiasm you have for your job.
Yeah, we're just getting started. I mean, this is going to be a really exciting thing, and I think we're about to turn New Hampshire on its head.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And a long time ago, Cream did a song about, kind of a dirty, nasty, corrupt politician. Hey, thanks very much for being with us today on The Bert Cohen Show.